Is Jesus a racist or is he the Redeemer? Did he come to reinforce ethnic and religious boundaries or to transcend them? This is Alison from Sanctuary, reflecting on a story from the Gospel according to Mark, in which Jesus calls a Syrophoenician woman a dog. She pushes back, and he praises her faith and heals her daughter. Whether he was a racist who changed his outlook in response to her sharp wit, or whether he was feeding her a line to show up the racism of his disciples, we'll never really know. But we do know this. The story lies between two other stories, two occasions when Jesus healed and fed thousands of people. After the first feeding, which takes place in Jewish territory, the disciples gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. We think of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we realize that when we gather with Jesus, there is more than enough healing and sustenance for the whole of Israel. The second episode takes place in Gentile territory, and this time the disciples gathered up 7 baskets of leftovers. We recall the 7 days of creation, and we realize that when we gather with Jesus, there is more than enough healing and sustenance not just for Israel, but for the whole of creation. And the story of the Syrophoenician woman sits between these two events. It's a turning point. It's a movement from a Jewish story to a story for all people. And so it has something to say to us. You'll remember that in Jesus' day, Jewish people would not eat with and often not even talk with non-Jewish people. You had to be Jewish, and you had to be physically perfect and free from mental illnesses or demons and not menstruating and preferably male to fully participate in religious life. Most of that seems a bit strange to us, yet churches and religious organizations still use boundaries to exclude. They're just different boundaries. Some religious groups don't allow outsiders to attend events. They require people to commit to the organization if they want to participate at all. Some religious groups exclude people for what they describe as moral failings. Thus, usually this doesn't include misuse of anger or money. Other religious groups permit visitors, but those visitors may not fully participate unless they meet certain requirements. Perhaps they need to sign a statement of faith if they want to belong. Perhaps they have to be baptized before eating at Jesus' table. Perhaps they need to be members if they want to attend church meetings or vote. Or perhaps they turn up and they can participate, but nobody actually talks with them. Nobody asks them home for a meal, and nobody seeks to integrate them into the common life. Religious groups exclude people all the time. But tonight's story, and many other stories in the Gospels, show us that following Jesus is not about shoring up boundaries and minimizing our engagement outside the walls of the church. Instead, following Jesus is about encountering and serving all sorts of people. I came to call sinners, he said, not just the righteous. And so we'll very often find him eating and drinking and telling stories with people who are outside our religious group. So what then are we doing here at Sanctuary? For we're about to commit to journeying into God's future together for the next 12 months. Are we cementing the circle tonight? Or are we doing something else? Well, the reformation of this congregation is not, I hope, about naming and enforcing boundaries. Instead, it's about pausing for a moment to look around at each other, clarifying who is with us as we seek to live into and bring about God's culture of generous hospitality and loving acceptance wherever we live and work and play. For here's the paradox. To go into God's world and to love as extravagantly as Jesus loves, we need each other. The waves are too rough, The voices are too seductive, the forces are too powerful for us to go it alone. Instead, like the first disciples, and like all disciples, we need regular feeding. And we are fed when we gather in Jesus' name, and we hear stories of faith and witness to their power in our lives. We are fed when we break bread and drink wine together. We are fed and we are woven into the body of Christ as we pray together and are filled by God's Holy Spirit. But it does not stop here. It doesn't stop here, for this is the same body and the same Spirit which send us out every week, encouraging us, exhorting us, and egging us on as we dare to go further and further into people's lives, bringing Christ with us and seeking Christ always, wherever we go, in whomever we meet. For we are fed in order to love and serve all God's people in all God's world, not just the people like us. In a moment then, we will stand and sing the Apostles' Creed as a reminder that we belong to and are commissioned by the Church Universal. After the Creed, I'll invite those who are willing to commit to this local expression of the Church to remain standing. Then we will reform as a body of Christ and as a sign of God's culture in this time and place, committing to another year of sharing in Scripture and silence, singing and soup, and another year of seeking justice and reconciliation and wholeness and peace for ourselves, our households, our neighbourhoods, our workplaces, our region, our nation, and the whole of creation, as we love and serve this beautiful and crazy and mixed up world, which is God's passion and God's delight. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and God bless.